Tables, your favorite table breaker is back here. My name is Wemimo Adewuni, and today on Table Talk, as usual, it's a gendered show. Yeah, so we're focusing on women's issues here. That's what we do every hour, 9 to 10 Mondays on this dial. So join me right now if you would like on Facebook and YouTube. It's Nigeria Info 99.3. You'll see the live video is going up there. You can leave me your comment and thoughts. I'd also be taking your calls over the course of the program, 0700-993-993-993. Female callers, we have a line for you, and that's 0146-57190. As usual, the show is in two parts. The first part is when I just tell you a brief about what my weekend was like. Again, no comment zone there. And then the next half, we go on to take the full conversation for the day. The first is called the appetizer. If you're ready, I am. So let's go.
Here's the appetizer on Table Talk.
All right, so summary of the whole weekend for me was mostly women's issues. I was jumping in from one women's issue to another. So Friday was a Shikan conference where I was a speaker and I was speaking about women breaking the glass ceiling. It was quite was a very good conference. If you were there, you would have learned a lot. And then Saturday was the African International Conference on Endometriosis, where I also was talking about women's health issues. And I'm bringing that conversation from Saturday into the show today because, man, you need to pay attention if you're a woman. One, if you're a parent or guardian with girls, you need to find out. Today we're going to talk about a very critical aspect of women's health. And I've got people who've got first-hand experience on this issue joining me in the studio today. So let's get started onto the main dish. This is Table Talk.
Now to the main dish on Table Talk. Table Talk.
All right, you're welcome again. This is the main dish. It's time to get onto the main conversation. In Nigeria, in Africa, we're still very, very quiet around the issues of menstruation and menstrual pain. And pain generally for women. As you might know, a lot of people think that being a woman comes along with pain. And so you have to bear a lot of pain. And if you're not bearing it, you're just either slow, you're sluggish, or you're just being a baby, you know, you're told to, come on, you're not the only person who feels pain. But sometimes, and many times, this pain is a signal of something serious going on with this young girl or with this woman. And so, we're going to talk about this pain and the things attached to it and a particular condition called endometriosis. Endometriosis is going to be our focus on the show today, and we have guests joining me live in the studio. They've come from all across Africa, actually. It's my pleasure to welcome them here joining me today. Okay, let's start by introducing Gawona Dintwe. She was here also for the endometriosis conference. Gawona, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Wemimo.
Good to have you here. Also have with me Mpo. I've practiced calling this name correctly. I hope that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, Mpo. Now the second one, God help me with that. Gagosi.
Yeah.
They're from Botswana.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you in the studio. I've also got Patricia Raymond here with me in the studio. She's here from Nigeria. Patricia.
Nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. Now, we're talking endometriosis. And to explain this, so what we're doing today is to bring the people who've had the experience. So it's one thing, and you know, Nigeria Info, we often have doctors come in the studio. But today, we're going to be hearing from those who've had this condition, explain it to you from their own human perspective, what they felt, what they saw, what the doctors told them, what their journeys were like. Now, that's different from a doctor telling you, because this is someone who's had it telling you what happened to them. So I'm going to start with you, Patricia. Explain endometriosis to us from your perspective, from how it started and how you got to understand endometriosis.
Okay.
You want to turn forward a bit so the camera can get your face? Yeah, that's
okay.
Perfect.
Endometriosis is a condition that affects the...
I need you to speak into your microphone.
The uterus, the female organ called uterus, which happens to be like the engine, the vehicle that carries everything that makes one a woman. And that's the uterus. And endometrium is where the condition is stationed, kind of. So from my own perspective, from a patient's perspective, endometriosis for me started at 14. And it began with severe menstrual pain in school, at home, in church, on the street. I just know that 1 week, 7 to 8 days in a month, I find myself just not knowing what's going on. I find myself just not in circulation. I can't do anything. I can't be around people. I can't go to school. And everybody at home has to hear me scream. I can't sleep. And I had to be given so much sleeping tablets in order for me to be able
at 14.
At 14. And so the first question I had to ask then was, what is this? And that if this is menstruation, please, how do I stop it? That I don't want to do it anymore. And so I asked my mom, how do I stop it? And everybody was like, God forbid, God forbid. You know, the Nigerian normal term for our mothers, like, God forbid, don't you want to have children? Why will you say something like this? You shouldn't talk that way. And I was like, if this is the process to have kids, I think I'd rather, you know, opt out. I think I don't want to.
The pain was that bad?
It was, I mean, excruciating. Just for lack of a better word. You don't have words for that pain anymore. You just have to be there and see it happen or experience it. They know. And so it's horrible.
So since you were 14 till now, I don't know what your age is now. Is this still a recurrent thing or did it phase out? So you hear, I mean, when I started menstruating then, you hear people tell you, oh, when you start, you have some cramps and then it eases out over time, you know, in a few years, you know, you'll just be better. Did it get better?
No, because it's endometriosis, it never gets better. It only gets worse. The pain only gets worse.
Let me speak to Gauna.
Okay.
What was your experience? So you also, together with Mpo, championed this endometriosis course in Botswana. So tell me your experience. What was your introduction to endometriosis?
Yeah. And before I even get there, I think just to add on to what Patricia was saying, I normally say endometriosis is like living with a disability in that what is supposed to exist inside your uterus, the lining of your uterus, is found in other parts of your body. And it travels literally to, okay, your reproductive organs, the fallopian tubes, the bladder, you know, towards the rectum. In other people, like in my case, it has mainly affected even my intestines, you know what I mean? Yeah, so it's literally right there in my bowels. And in other people, it literally goes to the lungs, to the heart, to the brain, to the back, to the thighs. So I normally say, imagine your finger is supposed to be here, but it's found here. Imagine your arm is supposed to be here, but it's found somewhere else. You get what I'm saying? So that's why I even say, you know, living with a disability. But anyways, similarly to Patricia, once again, my first encounter of endometriosis was when I was 14, when I got my period. And it was exactly similar to hers. Excruciating pain. And the thing about it is that I lived with some of my older cousins and I had a little sister who got her periods before me. I think she got hers at 10. So it honestly seemed like I was an attention seeker because everyone else got their periods, but they had manageable pain. But mine was so debilitating. I had to miss at least 2 to 3 days of school. I would throw up, you know, I'd get diarrhea. I'd be in pain that I literally couldn't even walk. So initially it started almost as if, come on, your pain threshold is very low.
Yeah. Well,
you know, everyone else is, you know what I mean? Everyone else is managing. But I was very fortunate to have a mother who then very quickly realized that there's a problem. And mm-hmm. I was that child who started going to the ER every single month, and I started seeing the gynae as a teenager,
wow.
you know, because we're trying to investigate what this thing is. And they said it was a big word then. They said it's just dysmenorrhea. Some people get get period pains, but it's a bit worse. So let's call it it's dysmenorrhea.
Mm.
It's probably going to get better once you have a child.
Also, you're practically told to go through the pain every month until you're grown enough to want to have a child.
It's gonna get better once you have a child. That's exactly what I got. And this is an example that I like giving to just give context of the pain. I remember there was a time I'd broken my arm. I was in a car accident on my way back from graduating from tertiary. So I was an accident with my family and I broke my arm, so literally completely broken, so I had to get a metal plate inserted. So after the surgery I was heavily medicated, but I was still in excruciating pain from my abdominal area. I couldn't feel any pain in my arm because whatever they gave me had treated this pain, but I was in debilitating pain.
You mean it did not numb the pain?
It could not numb the pain in my abdominal area. So that is how bad endometriosis pains are. This pain, fresh from surgery, was gone, you know, but the pain here was still there. So I don't know what degree of pain this is, but it was the story of my life until I later on at age 28, during a surgery to remove fibroids, because I unfortunately also then had fibroids, I was found with something called a frozen pelvis, where everything was stuck together down there, like in my abdominal area, including the bowels, like I'm saying. And
All
stuck together. And it's called stage 4 endometriosis. So that is how I was
diagnosed. So it's in stages.
Yes, yeah. It's in stages.
Mpo, tell me your story.
Wow. I think just like them, I started when I was 14.
Hmm.
And with me, you know, when we were growing up, we were told it's normal to be in pains when you are having
a period.
And they'll give you mild painkillers like Panado, paracetamol, and they'll not even do anything. So when I was 28, that's when I felt like, you know what, I need to do something about this. Because by then I had medical aid and I was able to hop from one doctor to another. And with me, when I was still a student, I would even pass out.
Whoa.
Yes. I would, and the,
from the pain?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the floor, I don't even want to talk about it. Because I would stain myself every single day. Like the floor would be so heavy that if it was possible, I would have used maybe more than 3 pads.
Hmm.
Like at a go.
At once.
Yeah, at once. So that's how bad it was. But I was diagnosed in 2008, and just like her, I was already at stage 4. I had a frozen pelvis. I have endo in my vaginal cavity, my colon, in my bladder. So you can imagine how much pain we go through almost every single day. But then, I remember when she said at some point she wanted her periods to be stopped.
Yeah.
I had to take that decision. I haven't had my period since 2009.
Wow.
But I'm still in pain every single day.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, wow. All right. So what we're doing here today is demystifying endometriosis and dysmenorrhea, which is called period pain.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very common. I'm sure if you look around you, you'd find a young girl who's had period pain. I mean, once you start. I mean, I used to be heavily on painkillers. I was switching painkillers. But it is tough, you know.
Yeah.
And for someone like me who's lucky, it's easy to say, you know, if you see somebody else. I once had a roommate in university who, I mean, once a month, she was totally useless for 1 week.
Yeah.
I mean, she was in pain on the floor. You know, I was helping her with the hot bottle. Every other person is like, what is wrong with you? Like, why can't you just, do you mean you won't be going to classes just because you're having a period?
Imagine.
You know, so but if you've seen someone who's had this pain, and if you're lucky to have someone who understands that something might be wrong, you might want to investigate it. So we'll talk about you investigating this pain. I'm taking the rounds again, starting off with Patricia. So when you finally, I mean, and I just can't imagine a doctor telling me, just bear up with the pain until you have a child.
And sometimes they tell you it's in your head.
You're just imagining it. Oh, okay. And that's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's even worse when a doctor who should be helping you you know, get the source of the pain and get it away, tells you, oh, you're just being dramatic. Yeah. You know, I see a lot of people every day. Why is yours different? So, and for Patricia, so this tells me that it is not just a Nigerian problem, because they're from Botswana. It's a worldwide thing. Yes, it really appears a lot of people don't yet understand what endometriosis is.
And when mothers, what hurts me to know that this could have been taken care of. When I was diagnosed just in 2020, yes.
2020?
Yes.
Like 2 years ago?
Yeah. Yes. It takes a decade or more to be diagnosed properly.
True story.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
a shocker for you.
Over a decade of going from hospital
for them,
to hospital?
Yes. To virtually prod, dig, pick at you and do whatever for that long while you go through literal hell. And at 14, I go to the doctor. I start going to see a gynae at 14. I already know who a gynae is at 14. And by 2009, I was supposed to do a laparoscopy. And it was 100,000 then.
Hmm. Tell us what the laparoscopy was. Let's
laparoscopy
assume.
Is a camera that is inserted to view your insides.
So they finally couldn't put a name to what was going on.
Yes.
So they had to send a camera in there to check.
Yes.
Which they should have done, I would assume. Right?
And with this kind of condition, normally a girl at that age, whether she can afford that treatment or not, I think that that girl should not be just left on her own or by her family's side alone. Mm. I think the government should have to come in at that point, because like she said, it's like you're handicapped.
Mm. Mm.
You are handicapped. You're now almost like a burden to your family. And in a situation where you come from a noble background, they can't afford this, you know.
I mean, one test is 100,000.
At 2009, it was 100,000.
Wow.
I just started working, meaning little earnings. I couldn't afford it. I had to now, you know, resort to going for a HSG.
Which is? So who's going to tell me about the HSG?
Okay, so an HSG is a procedure where ink is inserted into, so let's just say like a liquid with color, let me put it that way, is inserted into your uterus via the vaginal canal, of course, and it has to go to your fallopian tubes, and in normal situations it literally goes through the fallopian tubes and it spills out through your ovaries, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's normally what they use to check if there is blockage in
flushing.
I think that is the right word. They flush it into
she's telling you what the test does,
mm.
but I'll tell you
what it
how
feels like,
the pain.
How they perform this test. I was sitting at the lobby waiting to be called, and I heard women screaming at the top of their lungs.
Yeah.
And I just told myself, no, that's not where I'm going.
That can't be it.
That's not where I'm going. They're probably in labor or worse. And so it was my turn to go in there. And I go in there and I see these instruments they have. Wemimo, I don't know if I can say this on radio. They prod you open like a woman that is about to have
a baby.
Yeah.
A baby. Your two legs are up. And then they take a screw through your vagina.
A screw?
Yes. According to them, they said they need to. It's a scan. What's the other one? X-ray. of your pelvic area.
But now the process is painful.
So because you can't get a laparoscopy, now you have to go through this horrendous pain. And later, in 2020, when I was diagnosed, you now have to tell me then, just now, that I shouldn't have been put through a HSG, which a gynae that is supposed to be a specialist, a qualified medical personnel, asked me to go get.
I need to go out on a break. This is a very first-hand report of what it feels like to live with endometriosis. I'll take your calls when we return. This is Table Talk. My name is Wemi Mo Adewunle. Don't go away.
Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
Well, welcome back to the show. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. You're listening to Table Talk. My name is Wemi Mo Adewunle, and today I'm not excited because and this is just me listening to the pain that I am not experiencing, but barely listening to it and imagining it. I don't know what to say. I'll be taking your comments from WhatsApp. WhatsApp number is 08095975805. And you can also join the show. I'll take your calls in a bit. On Facebook and YouTube, it's Nigeria Info 99.3. Leave me your thoughts and comments there, and I'll read them in a bit. Okay. I'll get that for you by 10. Oh, yeah. All right. So, I'm coming to you, Impo. So you stopped your menstruation. Tell me about that process and what does this mean? Does this mean you can't have babies?
Well, I believe I can because the way that they were stopped, firstly, I inserted the Mirena, the IUD.
IUD.
And I was also using Evra patches. And then I also had to insert the implant by my arm. So all these three had to suppress my menses. The aim was for us to see the growth of my endometriosis, because what happens with endometriosis, when you get on your periods, it bleeds in your body also. So they wanted
it
to
bleeds
see
inside,
yes.
Everywhere.
I bleed inside my body.
It worsens.
Wherever it is, I bleed. So they wanted to see if they stop my periods, will it grow the way that it... Because my doctor felt it's growing so fast. I remember I had 3 surgeries in 2 years. Uh-huh. That's why they had to stop my periods, to see what's happening. I've had 6 surgeries so far. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to have one last year, but I'm refusing to do it. Because
why?
I feel like I had to come to a point where I'm saying, you know what?
Enough of the surgeries?
Yeah, it's enough now. Mm-hmm. Let me just deal with this pain the way it's coming. And
so you mean with all of those surgeries, the pain is not gone?
You know...
Is it reduced? Is it better? Is anything better?
With me, all my surgeries, I'll be out of pain for maybe 3 or 6 months.
And then it's back.
And then it's back. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine if I'll have to go do surgery after
every six months.
I can't. It's even expensive, hey?
And is that even healthy for anybody?
It's not because now it causes adhesions that cause more pain.
Because, I mean, I've had 2 surgeries to have my babies, and I know the pain afterwards is, I mean, it's not funny.
Yeah.
Gauna, so how does this affect your job? You are a broadcaster Botswana. So how does this affect your job?
Oh, wow. I think, you know, over and above, so let's just start with the fact that...
Please push up your microphone a bit.
Okay, push it up. Okay.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, let's just start off with the fact that, you know, similarly to when I was younger and I was studying, I'd miss those, you know, 2 to 3 to 5 days of school. It was the exact same thing at work. You know, I as Africans, like you're saying, even just menstruation is a taboo. Like, it's not necessarily something that is
openly discussed.
So even within our households, our fathers generally don't know when we're on our periods, but I keep saying my dad knew. So guess what? At school, everyone knew. When at work, everyone knew when I was on my periods. You know what I mean? Because I had to miss work. So they knew me as the girl who misses work because of her excruciating. So, but fortunately, I think from like my management and colleagues, everyone understood, but it's the audience that didn't.
Yeah. Especially you had because to be of off your say, show.
Thank you very much. I was off my show and I was on radio and television. So I literally had two live shows every day, a breakfast show from 6 a.m. from 6 a.m. to 8, and then a mid-morning show from 9 to 12. So I'd miss those every single month for 3 to 5 days.
And the audience is wondering where she got to.
And I think another complication that then came, because I wanted to talk also about the mental health aspect of it. The fact that you get affected so bad, you know, then there was a point where now I got married and I was trying to conceive, and because of the endometriosis and how badly it affected my reproductive organs, I struggled to conceive. So here I am struggling to conceive, you know, missing work because of all this debilitating pain, and everyone is just on some, where is she, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, this girl is married, why isn't she having babies now? Or is it because she thinks she's, you know,
she's a media person,
so she doesn't
keep a shape.
So it was difficult. It was difficult dealing with this, and it continues to be difficult. It's just that over time now, and also having become an activist, because I realized how lonely the journey was, being in my little corner dealing with it on my own. When I decided to go public with my story, that's when now I got to meet the Mpos and a whole lot of other women who are going through similar situations. And I think, you know, that is possibly where part of my healing, is at least mental, emotional healing, started, because I realized I wasn't alone. You know, I wasn't so isolated anymore. It wasn't so lonely anymore. But it's been a really tough journey.
You ladies are telling me that this is a life time.
It has no cure.
Journey.
It has no cure.
You have to live with it
for the rest of your...
Are you married, Patricia?
I'm not.
Are you married, Mpo?
I'm divorced.
So you have a child.
Yeah.
Tell me about that process. How did it work? How were you able to have a child through all of this?
What happened was I conceived just after my HSG test, because my doctor told me that it will blow your tubes. So the chances of you conceiving are very high. Well, remember, I did not know it was endometriosis. I just did the HSG test for different...
That's the screwing, flushing
test. The one.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to remember it by.
So I then had my child. You know, the pain continued. You remember she said she was told, have a baby, then you'll be okay.
Yeah.
I had that baby. The pain continued. And then I went back to my doctor in South Africa to tell her that, you know what, I think my life is now getting worse with this pain. What's going on? And she was, you know, sometimes these doctors, we rely on them.
Yeah.
But sometimes they let us down. My doctor said to me, you were giving birth, because it was C-section.
Yeah.
I saw that you've got endometriosis. We were actually talking about your case because we don't understand how you conceived with a frozen pelvis. And I was like, and you decided to keep quiet.
And they didn't tell you about it?
Yeah, when you had a chance to help me, because at that point, it was not a laparoscopy. You had opened me
up. Yeah, you could see everything.
Yeah, you could have done something to help me. And she took it light. She was just like, you have a baby.
So that's it.
She's saying, I was supposed to be grateful that I was able to conceive naturally,
and every other thing should not matter.
It didn't matter.
All right, let me go on the phone lines for a bit. 0700-993-993-993 female callers, 01465-71190. I'll start off with WhatsApp. Zainab is listening in from Ikoyi, says she's loving the topic. Thank you very much. We've got a comment here from Samson from Lagos, says my wife did the HSG some few years ago. She said it was very painful. After all these tests, we're still trusting God for the fruit of the womb for 7 years now. Please, we need help. So endometriosis overlaps fertility issues. But are the options open as with fertility issues? And I'm coming to you on this one, Gauna, because this is your story. What have you tried? What could work and what just might not because of, you know, the situation?
Okay, so what happens with endometriosis, because of how it affects your reproductive organs, in my case, it's affected my fallopian tubes as well as my ovaries, right? So the reason why I had to get an HSG done was because they're trying to establish whether my tubes were blocked and where exactly they're blocked, to just establish if this could be one of the reasons why I was struggling to conceive. And that's exactly what they found. My HSG was as excruciating because my tubes were blocked. So the liquid,
had no way to
and this is why you go through so much pain, right? So now that is one way that they get to establish whether there's blockage. So what endometriosis does, especially the more it grows, is that it ends up damaging both your fallopian tubes and the ovaries, which then makes it difficult for the sperm and the egg to meet. So natural conception becomes an impossible, it literally becomes impossible, right? So then, of course, then there's fertility treatment. For people then who don't have blocked fallopian tubes, they then have, I'll just call it artificial insemination, right? Where then they get to, just to simplify everything, where then they get to insert sperm into to just assist with the meeting of the egg and the sperm, right? And then, of course, then there's IVF, which is an option for a lot of people with endometriosis, especially if that fertility has been affected. Now, the problem with that is that it's expensive.
It is.
It is very expensive. So a lot of people end up giving up just after trying naturally because they cannot even afford to attempt IVF.
And can we talk about what also happens to the woman as you grow older?
Yeah.
I've had to help quite a number of a listener with their fertility journeys. And I know, what it costs. And this is me having spoken to fertility centers and gotten discounts for them.
Yeah.
Some of them have had to pay in batches because I've given my word to say, oh, they'll pay. Yeah. You know?
And, so it's without guarantees.
Without guarantees.
And you know what the sad thing is? In our country, we don't have those. We have to go to South Africa to
get it.
You don't have it in Botswana.
No.
And the thing about endometriosis is that over and above the fact that a woman's ovarian reserve gets depleted over years, right? With endo, it destroys the ovarian reserve even sooner than it would naturally have. You know what I mean? So you can find that somebody who's 28 with endometriosis has a depleted ovarian reserve because of endometriosis. Yeah. So that's just how bad it is, right? I'm 39 and my ovarian reserve has been affected. You know, and when you think about it, yes, I am now nearing that age where either way, or already within the age range, where either way my ovarian reserve had largely decreased because of my age. But now endo helps you with that. Endo is like, no.
Don't worry. I'll slash it for you.
So that is a major challenge now with women with endometriosis. And so, this is why then 50% of people with endometriosis also end up dealing with infertility.
Okay. I'm on Facebook now. I'm just going to give you a comment because, man, I don't know what to say. Bisabahi is here on Facebook and says, mine too was painful and lasted for 4 days, but now I'm 38 and married for 3 years without kids. And yet my period stopped since April. I went for a test and I wasn't pregnant. Please, is there any advice for me?
Oh, wow.
Just keep seeing the doctors, right?
Yeah.
But it appears to me like most of our doctors.
Get a CT done. And see a gynae immediately.
Yeah.
But I mean, listening to your story, it appears to me like most of the doctors are just fiddling about. They don't even know what they're doing.
We do more research than our doctors, hey?
Yeah. They don't know what they're doing.
This is really what my gynae usually says. He says, you teach me more about this condition than I've learned from medical school because you live with it.
Let me speak to one of the callers. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
My name is Emeka. I'm calling from Kesuwe.
All right, Emeka.
I have a daughter 14 years and now.
Okay.
So when my daughter started menstruation, it was hell. So I go to hospital. They say that my daughter have one doctor said it's an attack.
Huh?
After that one, another doctor.
Wait. Who told you it was an attack? A doctor?
Doctor, K2FP, General Hospital.
Wow.
My name is Emeka from K2FP.
Wow.
I'm from Umuahi Hubakala. That is my name. That's where I come from.
Okay.
So, one doctor said that it's attack. I go to another doctor say I should go and test his brain.
You should go and test your daughter's brain.
So, when I do all those things, so one senior man called me that, bros, take this your daughter. To there are people that deliver
gynecologists,
baby.
Yeah.
No, I don't know the gynecologist. I said the people that deliver baby native.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So when they go there, they look my baby. Say this baby. See. Oh, I just keep calm. The mama charged me. I swear to God. The mama charged me 1,500 naira. The mama just opened my baby womb. Just open the belly, wash and set down, pack, everything done, okay.
I don't understand. She flushed her womb.
It's not just your womb. Just come out in belly. Say this belly is Satan. The medicine give to my baby self, I'm not give her. Yeah, I don't drop her for my house because I'm a landlord here. You just said the womb. After I said the womb, my baby is okay now.
Okay. Oh, wow. All right. Patricia, understand what it was a masseur.
Yeah.
So they do
the
like
ideal masseurs.
So what do they do?
What they do is they reset the womb. In quote.
Did you try that?
As a matter of fact, I did.
Did it work? Did it ease the pain?
No, it worsened my situation.
Well, he's claiming it worked for his daughter.
After I went through the massage, the next period I had, I almost died.
Wow.
And I stopped. Because according to them, they'll tell you your womb is not properly placed. Mm-hmm. It's probably...
resting on something.
It's high. It's supposed to come close. So intercourse and trying to conceive will be easier. That your womb is far off. So they need to massage and bring it...
down a bit.
Yeah, to the proper place.
But one other thing, it could be right that it worked for his daughter because we don't know what the problem
that
was.
What she had, it's possible she didn't have endometriosis.
Yeah, so
she probably had dysmenorrhea.
But you know, I have a very big issue and it's giving me a headache.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the doctors. I can't get my
but
head around
this. But that
shouldn't
be coming from a doctor.
Yeah, I mean, if a doctor tells you your child has a spiritual attack.
Yeah.
Or tells you to go check your child's brain.
That's what they say to us.
A doctor?
Let me tell you my story. As I was growing up, at some point, I was given an STI shot. And by then, I was not sexually active.
Uh-huh.
Because I was bleeding heavily, I had very excruciating pains. They said I've got an STI. As if that was enough. At some point, I was told I had an abortion.
Mm. Wow.
And I was not sexually active.
So, okay. I'm on Facebook. Ojos Tose Damilola said, I did sono HSG and it was crazy and totally humiliating. Another one here is from Aisha, who says, my issue is I was diagnosed with fibroids and I did the surgery 2 years ago. But since then, I noticed that after the surgery, whenever I'm doing number two, what's number two?
Mm.
That would be
poo.
Yeah. Mm. I always see blood in it and by my back aches so badly. And since last month, I've been menstruating nonstop. Every day, you need to go see a gynae, please.
S-A-P.
I went for a pelvic scan, and it shows that fibroid has come back again. There might be something more.
Absolutely,
maybe it's not just a fibroid. Please go see a gynae right away. Aisha's asking, I would like to know, can scan detect endo?
No.
It cannot. Joel says, my wife has had HSD done 4 times.
No way.
I've had it twice.
4 times. And they still haven't got a baby.
Mm.
And how expensive is this HSG?
HSG, as at when I did it, was just 9,000.
9,000.
Yes, yeah. But now I don't know how much it costs now.
Abiola Lambe is asking if this is hereditary. Do you think?
No.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Apparently. Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Endo?
It might.
Oh, really?
It might be.
I think the thing about endo is that it's quite an enigma and they're still trying because, you know, even when you just go back to the conference, you know, 2 days ago, you can tell that there's still a lot of research
going on.
It is one of the findings that it may be because when you think about it, my mom always says her younger sister who passed away years ago used to have very similar.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I had a line of people who had, but they all had kids.
Yeah.
My elder sisters both had kids, but according to my people, they say it's associated with something in our lineage.
Mm.
They took me to an old woman who was supposed to be lying down and for a concoction.
Mm.
That's another story.
Yeah.
Now, according to them, they say there was an aunt who always had. Who was always embarrassed by her menstrual period.
Mm.
And so she went and asked for a sign. Something should tell her she's about to menstruate so she's not popularly embarrassed, disgraced in public.
Yeah.
And that she did something that down the line now affects all the women in our lineage.
Okay, so do you think that's true?
I don't believe it.
We have another call on the line. One minute now. Yeah. Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Welcome to the show. What's your name?
My name is Blessing.
Yeah, Blessing.
Calling from Banagri.
Your radio has to be off, Blessing. You know this, right?
Okay.
Thank you. You've got a minute. Let's go.
Okay. I want to ask something.
Yes, please go ahead.
I don't forget it, ma. I will call you back.
Oh,
now
okay.
Think of the...
Okay, okay. Do you remember it now?
No, ma. Don't forget it. Oh, something...
Yeah, call me back now. Let me jump onto WhatsApp. Talkba is saying this topic can't be taken for just 1 hour.
Yeah.
It's talk to his radio. Sun is saying, I became irritated with my girlfriend because of the way she behaved during her menstrual period, but now I know better.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for understanding. Yeah.
Because, I mean, he would just be like, what is wrong with you? Why are you being so dramatic, right? I've got sisters. They don't behave like this.
Yeah.
He says, what can she take so that the pain can be reduced? She needs to see a gynecologist. That's what she needs to do. Zainab says, I'm in my 40s. I feel a lot of pains. I'm married, but I have no kids. What do I do? See a gynecologist.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wemimo, for this topic on endometriosis. I'm glad you're all learning. Someone says, this is the scariest thing I've had to hear as a father. Is listening in as a father. I can't imagine.
I like it when men
listen. It says, I can't imagine what women with this condition go through. Yeah. Even as a woman,
there
I'm
you
telling
go.
You, I've gone through pain having babies, but I still can't just imagine living with that pain every time. I can't deal with it. Someone here says, well, please don't believe Emeka. Everybody they see in the hospital is a doctor. No doctor would tell a patient that she has a spiritual attack. So I'm wondering, a doctor would tell you that, really? All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Hello? Okay, you might want to try again. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, thank you for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Dolakpo.
Dolakpo, please speak up for me a bit. Go ahead.
Okay, so I want to look at the doctor.
Hello, Dolakpo. Okay, your line is gone off. You can please try again if you're able to. The number is 0700-993-993-993. Good morning, hello?
Hello?
Yeah, welcome to the show. What's your name?
Please, I'm sorry to disturb. My name is Emeka. I'm going for Ketu Ekpe. Let that person put 100,000.
All right, stop it. I've got other callers. You've made your point, all right? Thank you. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Samuel from Ikorodu.
Welcome, Samuel. Please go ahead.
Yeah, actually, this is a very nice topic, and I had to listen to it because of our one daughter.
Okay.
And at times, you know, she's just 8, but at times she complains of some funny stomach pain or something.
Has she started a period?
No, she's just 8, but my friend who had a 12-year-old daughter told me that her daughter has something like cyst or something. So I'm thinking of taking my daughter to the hospital for a checkup. Not just to assume it's all star or something.
Yes.
I'm worried,
please.
Because she's just 8 years old.
Well, it's not too early. Some people start at 9, right? Some children start really early. So the earlier you start investigating, you'll make her life a bit easier.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah, so, I would do that because I used to have I left my girlfriend in university because of, I mean, when she has a menstrual pain, I have to leave lecture and it was horrible.
So you broke up with her.
I couldn't put up with her, but I think now I know better. I think women should respect women more.
Thank you very much for calling. Hello, good morning. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Please put off your radio. What's your name?
This is Kola on the line.
You've got 2 seconds to get that radio off. Are you ready for me?
I've done that.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Wow, this is very interesting. I've been listening all through, and my heart beats very fast as listening to this morning.
Yeah.
I also have a daughter, too. Can one start to take care of one's daughter much earlier, even before she starts, menstruating?
Yeah.
Is there a way to prevent?
Gaona, you want listen on your radio for that. Yeah. Gaona.
My suggestion would be just wait until she gets her period and then observe. You know, one thing that a lot of us, a lot of people didn't get is people who believed that pain was valid, right?
Yeah.
So with him, my advice would be wait until she gets her period. And if she says she's in discomfort, get it investigated as early as possible. You don't want her to get diagnosed with a frozen pelvis and dealing with infertility at age 28, you know, when then she started complaining when she was 10.
Yeah.
So just get it investigated, because there's nothing like pain is normal.
So I hope that this 1 hour has taught you some, really, that women are not synonymous with pain. It's not natural role for women to always have pain.
Yeah.
When a girl tells you she's in pain, when a woman tells you she's in pain, please support her to have it investigated. We need to go now. 1 hour is up. I want to thank you all very much. Umpo Hagosi, did I say? Thank you for coming in. Also, thank you, Gauna Dintwe, for being here. Patricia Raymond, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
You ladies are returning to Botswana when?
On Wednesday.
Let's keep the advocacy up, right? There's a support group for people in this. How can they reach you? 10 seconds, can you tell me?
In Botswana.
In Nigeria. Is there in Nigeria?
Yes, Endo Fight Club on Facebook.
Endo Fight Club on Facebook. Go find out more there. I need to go. Don't worry, I'm still around after the news on the hour at 10. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. Thanks for being here. We're not breaking. We didn't break any tables today. Next week, we'll do some more. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
No, it's not your business.
That money, the pass is good. That finally.
You should be patient.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.